We're back again.
Hi.
Hi. Welcome back to the B-List, guys. One of my favorite guests ever is back in the house. You might know her. Well, you only know her as Melissa Beck. You might know her from this podcast or the Real World New Orleans, or now the Real World Homecoming New Orleans, which just started airing on Paramount Plus. Welcome back.
I love coming onto your show. You're like my little brother. It's like family at this point. Over here.
It really is.
Same I brother. Know. How are you?
Same color.
How are you?
I'm doing good. Yes! I'm really good. It's just starting to be nice outside, so I'm starting to unthaw. Like I'm starting to be more social.
I know.
You were the house.
I know what you do. I know what you do. You like to get your little shorts on. You like to get your little thick thighs out. I know you. Summertime bee. I've seen Summertime bee's little Instagram thirst traps. I know what you be doing.
You me.
You get your thigh meats out and it's a wrap.
There. I actually do not have that big of thighs, but I do have big butts.
Yes, you do.
So much is happening. So much is going on. We're going to talk about the show.
Yeah.
It's really fucking good, by the way. We're going to get into it. But yeah, I was expecting it to be good just because I'm into it. But like the reception online is like, everyone's like, this is the best show I've ever seen. People are like, obsessed. It's good.
Girl, it's really good. And you know why it's good? It's because this is actually true nostalgia.
Yeah.
And, the people that watched it. So I would say if you watched that show when it was on the air, you were between the ages of 11 and 25.
True.
So 22 years later, you know how to use the internet. You know how to log on to Paramount Plus. So you can get your little nostalgia kick, but you also have grown up with social media when you didn't have it then. So being connected to the show at that time was really special because you had to do a lot of work to go get the show and do a lot of work to go find people on the internet to talk about the show with. So all of those people are finding each other again. And that's what's been really cool because I'm part of that nostalgia too, because I came up on that show, like having a website that I called a weblog.
Mm-hmm. I didn't remember seeing it, but we've talked about it. You know what I mean? And that's how people know you.
Yeah.
We're going to get into the nostalgia. First off, how are you? What's up? What's new? What's new with the personal life? You were in the house. It's funny. And I'm watching the show and you're like, I guess you guys were getting COVID tested and stuff, but you guys were like, you're out at the club, not every night, but it's like you guys are doing group events and stuff like that. And that's the most social I've seen you.
Girl, because I'm
in the house. Yep.
My drag name is Jacinda House. Jacinda, new word, HAUS, Jacinda House. That's my drag name. No, you know what? Actually going to film Homecoming was the first time that I left the house because my husband and I, I had my protocols. I had my COVID protocols.
Oh, yeah.
But my husband and I had a pact that basically you don't leave this house unless it's to go get money or food. And Real World Homecoming called and I was like, I guess I'll go get this money right quick.
Yeah.
But yeah, the protocols during the filming were strict. So we as a cast lived in a strict COVID bubble. If we introduced a person into the house, they had to be vaccinated and tested. We were tested multiple times a week. So all the stuff that you see of us outside in the world, those people are tested too. Tested, vaccinated, had to quarantine. So we ain't just walking in the club and walking out.
Oh, so that's interesting. Also, well, I'll get into all that. First off, let's talk about what went on this week because a lot's been going on. I want to just talk about topics. The SCOTUS said that, there's snatching rights overnight. In the middle of the Met Gala, because you were live tweeting the Met Gala.
Yeah, so I'm sitting up here looking at outfits. And the next thing I know, I see this leak and then I start reading it. And then the whole vibe of my timeline was just it was like.
The dissonance.
Girl, the bifurcation. Not this vocabulary words. And I was like, hold on, should I not be tweeting about these dresses? Hold on a second. And I went and I looked
tweeting about
up.
Dresses and the other half were tweeting about abortion rights. And I was like, oh my God, this is too much.
it was a lot. It was very stressful. And it actually made me really sad because, you know, I wanted to check in on Amanda, my co-host over on Imperfect Strangers, because early on in our podcast, we had been getting to know each other. And part of us getting to know each other was she has a tremendous story of loss and she do not play about her human rights, abortion rights. So I was like, oh, damn, let me go check in.
Where does she live?
She lives in Ohio.
Ohio. That's actually one of the places I think that if they struck it down, it would be like immediate that it would be.
Yeah. Red state ass Ohio.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's been a mess. But like, you know, it's crazy. What was really a gift of getting that news was just how quickly, how easily it was for me to figure out who to preemptively block.
Block.
It was a block party all night.
I know that's right, but I clean up all the time though. Whenever there's something that happens like that, I just go through the timeline with my little magnifying glass. I'm like,
You were looking a little iffy. You're out of here. Yep.
That's what I do. I like to block. I call it spring cleaning.
Yep, me too. One get funny all DM. That riffraff out of here. Correct.
That's why I like being a little bit loud sometimes, just to get people's reaction and see.
Yep. Sometimes you got to do what you got to do.
Do you get a lot of DMs? You're not actually that vocal about like, oh, you have two Twitters. You have your personal. I'm not going to give that one away. But then you have the verified one that's, it's kind of newer, right?
My verified one, I started specifically so that I could, you know, interact with the good people who are enjoying Real World Homecoming, because I also don't be mixing the two worlds. That's the part that people don't understand. A lot of people that have coming back to the show and seeing it are like, oh my God, whatever happened to Melissa? Oh, Melissa been here, baby. I just been lurking in the catacombs. Y'all just didn't know all that.
I've been here the whole time.
Okay, I've been online for a long time. I know a lot of blue checks. I've been here, baby. But so now having my blue check account is kind of like my LinkedIn. You know, we only talk about the show there, but my private account, I'm over
there. You're getting lots of love on Twitter.
Oh,
wait, real quick. That's so tell me, what was the best thing from the gala? What's the best thing you saw?
You know,
I honestly didn't see shit. Like, I couldn't tell you. I know that, didn't Kim Kardashian wear like a Marilyn Monroe dress or something?
She did. And also, she also dyed her hair blonde, but I guess with not enough time for it to set right because there were some mad green patches. But
no.
Yeah, she wore Marilyn Monroe's Happy Birthday President dress, which, I mean, listen, every time we go through the Met Gala, nobody is on theme. Nobody can understand what the theme is. And so really, it's just a night of dresses.
Yep.
And also, we don't really know what we're doing here. Like, what's the dinner?
Where does the money go? I never see that part. And then we just see photos from the bathroom.
Right. So like, I never know what the point is. It is one of my favorite nights on Twitter though. I'm talking all this shit, but I do like it.
Okay. So I feel like the Met Gala used to hit though. Cause like in the earlier days, and when I say the earlier days, I feel like 6 or 7 years ago, it used to be hype on Twitter that night because people were just dragging. But I feel like now that everybody's in on the joke, there's a lot of like, you know, ASOS floral print button up Zara jeans with the ripped denim. Like, it's a lot of people from the couch trying to give like fat. I know myself and I know my limits. I am not a fashionista, but I will drag someone for wearing like a costume.
Listen, but hold on. Let me show you something, B.
Yeah. What is it?
You see this vacation house dress? This is what I'm wearing when I'm on the internet talking all my shit. No bra, armpit hair. I'm over here with zit cream on like, oh, I know she didn't wear that.
I know. She looks a mess. I haven't taken a shower since yesterday. I'm like, oh, no, she looks a mess.
Scalp itching. Like, oh, no, I know she didn't. we are talking shit from outside the club. Yep. At least
But now there's just too many people that look a mess talking shit. So I'm like, we can't all be Joan Rivers. And that's, I think, the reason why people dress this way online. At these red carpet events, because we need Joan Rivers back, or we need a new Joan Rivers. Because y'all aren't nervous enough.
I was about to say, scared. I'm about to say, now there's a new fearlessness.
Yes.
And I don't like it.
Yeah. Now let me be up there.
I'm trying to think of who I liked. I mean, I guess Vanessa Hudgens had a pretty look.
I didn't even see it.
sheer black thing. Dove Cameron, that little Disney girl, she had like a crazy kind of white cockatoo thing going on. Jodie, Pacey's wife, she did that.
Oh,
she looks kind of flappery.
She always looks good. She always looks
good. Well, I mean, she's like her body is just outrageous. I really can't remember. I guess Cardi B had like coins on.
Okay. Yeah, it's all Versace. But you know what? Honestly, Cardi always turns it out at the Met Gala, though. She always dresses on point for that. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry. She usually looks better than Nicki at the, you know, the Barb's going to come.
I was about to say, you trying to get you love getting run up off the internet. Next thing I know, you're going to have me claiming that I invented Bootylicious, and then you're going to get me run off Twitter. Oh my God. See there?
You know who tried to almost got ran off the stage last night? Dave Chappelle.
Oh no. Oh no.
Let me read it right now to you. Okay. Dave Chappelle. The LAPD arrested a suspect and charged him with assault with a deadly weapon after Dave Chappelle was attacked on stage last night. The person's name was Isaiah Lee, was carrying a replica gun with a knife blade on the inside when he attacked Chappelle during the Hollywood Bowl. The comedian was in the middle of his stand-ups routine for Netflix's Joke.
Hold on a sec.
Yeah, I don't know. That's fucking crazy.
Where was his security?
Well, they jumped him, I guess. I didn't see the video, but I think they fucked up his arm too, because they show him in a stretcher and he looks like he's doing the Nicki Minaj when she's like doing the Roman.
No.
No. With the bangs. You know what I'm talking about?
You don't stop. See, we can't have a serious conversation.
See, y'all, I'm a Barb. I know.
Hold on.
I'm going to be here for Halloween.
Get stabbed?
I'm going to be the chicken wing, Nicki, though. The chicken wing necklace from today's show. No, he didn't get stabbed, though.
Okay.
He did not get stabbed. But they jumped him and they all started like kicking him and shit. So the photo that I'm seeing.
Oh, wow.
They fucked his ass
up. What was the motivation? What was Isaiah Lee's problem?
Well, I'm not even sure. And they don't even know. Let's see. According to the New York Post, Lee is a rapper. An Instagram shirt shows someone with the name Isaiah Lee, who appears to go by the username No Name Undername Trapper. Appropriate. And matches the physical description of the suspect. So he's a SoundCloud rapper.
Not No Name Trapper. That reminds me of...
That's actually the best No Name...
Did you ever watch Making a Band?
Well, bits and parts. So I never like fully watched the thing, but you know I love Lorianne.
Hold on a second. You didn't watch Chopping My Roommate?
Oh, yeah. I know the people...
Babs, we're gonna need some more hair options.
Oh, I know. Yeah, yep. My name is Dylon. I spit on fire.
Yeah, there was news last week about Chopper.
But what happened? Oh wait, he died.
Chopper went to jail drugs.
For drugs,
sex trafficking. Mm-hmm. So No Name Trapper, Chopper, all the same shit. Yeah. Wow.
Chopper is a good rapper name.
Chopper, my roommate. Yeah.
he was sex trafficking?
Something like that. I didn't read the thing. See, like, usually when it's bad news and I hear about it, I try not to post the link because I don't want more people to know about it, because I had a soft spot in my heart for Chopper. I really had a soft spot in my heart for everybody on that show. So I just be like, sad.
How you even sex traffic? Do you have to have a car? How do you, what is that?
If you don't stop.
I need to see a documentary or something. I don't know. Chopper, because I know he don't have a car.
I think I'm sure he does. He had to be a baby back then. See, again, which was crazy, because now we're back to the nostalgia. I was like, not Chopper back in the news. Not Chopper back in the news when I'm back in the news. That's hilarious.
Well, that leads directly into what I really want to talk about is the Real World New Orleans Homecoming. If you guys aren't watching this show, you're wrong. I don't know what to tell you. I don't even know why you listen to this podcast right now, but it's so fucking good.
The show is
the reception is amazing. I'm sure the ratings reception are good.
Is everything. Listen, I don't know what the ratings are. They don't tell me anything.
Actually, I don't think there's a way to really look up ratings for Netflix doesn't like release ratings for shows and stuff. All these like streaming.
I can only go by the social media engagement, and I mm-hmm. just feel like for this mm-hmm. one, there seems to be so much more discussion around the show than the previous two. Yeah. But, you know, I feel like it's good. And for someone who had a lot of hesitation going back, mm-hmm. I have zero regrets. I'm happy I did it. I've come off of the show with renewed relationships. Warm and fuzzy friendships. It's straight comedy sometimes. Dead ass. It's hilarious, the show sometimes. There's thoughtful conversation. And it was good for me therapeutically to revisit that time in my life and have a little bit of closure. So I feel good about it. And I hope the viewing audience feels good about it. It's a good little show. And you know why I think it's good? I think it's good because I want to say this is a special time in the making of reality TV where Buna Murray, MTV, Viacom, whomever, they pioneered this genre. And for the first time, you're seeing a cast come back to it 22 years later and break that fourth wall and talk about the process of making the show.
Yeah.
So that's kind of interesting. I've been fascinated because I don't see the show. I see it when y'all see it. So yeah. I've been fascinated to see what they've kept in.
Do they not like send it to you a day before, or you really just get it?
They used to back in the day. We used to get a big puffy yellow bubble wrap envelope messengered to our house on
that's
Monday
crazy
nights.
Back in the day they would even do that.
Yeah, and now we don't get it the night before. We don't get it the night before. But you know, every New York City media gay, that's a terrible label, has screeners.
It's true.
They have screeners. I'd be texting people and be like, what to say? Tell me everything. And nobody, everybody's really protective of it. So like, you guys are not trying to get your little rights revoked. So nobody will give it to me.
Send me a... Did I send it to you? Oh, wait, don't.
Nobody
don't
will give it to me. Nobody will give it to me. So I see it when y'all see it.
How do you feel about like, because obviously you have like a fan, I don't want to say fan base. I guess that's what you call it, right? Yeah, like, yeah, just fan base. Yeah. From the original series. But does it like, have you noticed that there's like a new generation of people, or is it like?
You know, I feel like for this particular one, it's like, you know, it's old people talking to me that are relating to me. They're like, yeah, Melissa, I'd be in the bed too. Yeah. you know, like, you know, when we're called boring or whatever, I take that as a compliment because that means I am drinking my water and minding my business.
It's doing what you're supposed to be doing.
Yes. So it really has been so much fun, though, even just from the beginning, the first initial trailer that they put out when they remixed that Come On Be My Baby Tonight.
Yeah.
To be ominous.
Genius.
I mean, brilliant.
Yes.
And even from there, and like at that point, I had been home from the show. So we filmed it in November of 2021. And when that trailer had come out, I had been home from the show, 4 months? So we've been sitting around not knowing when this thing is going to drop, not knowing when, you know, it was gig time. So the first time I heard the Come On Be My Baby Tonight remix, I was like, oh, okay, hold on. Somebody's got their finger on the pulse. They understand what the people want and this might be good. So that actually, you know, gave me some goodwill about the show, and it's been good. It's riveting television. I can't front. It's good. I mean, even if I wasn't on it, I would say it was good.
And you're getting a really good edit too.
No,
I'm not an edit. Sorry. I mean, that's how you are, but, but it's just like, but you're coming in and it's just like straight up from the gate up. Julie, don't come in my space. I'm not even gonna call her Julie because literally I saw an article today, they called her the most stressful woman on reality television.
That was Joe Reed.
Oh, it was
yes, really apt. I followed him on Twitter forever.
She is just dangerous white woman shit, but we're gonna get all into it. I'm gonna call her Lululemon because that seems to be all she. It's like actually like off-brand Lululemon because it's like weird tribal patterns.
No,
and shit
well,
like
that's.
That,
but- that's the thing. I'm like so upset, but it was like so black and elderly of me to get it wrong, but have it be so right. Because I meant LuLaRoe, which is the pyramid scheme leggings. I meant LuLaRoe.
Oh, okay. See, I wouldn't even know, but that's true. Yeah, she's definitely involved in an MLM. Anyways, it's like y'all's own personal Amy Cooper on this show, but we're going to get into all of that stuff. First
oh,
things
no,
first.
Not the bird watcher. Okay.
So going back into the show, was there anyone that you were most excited to see? Because we're on episode 3 now. It just keeps getting better and better. But you obviously, I think you saw Danny first going back into it, right? And that's
I did. I was so fascinated to see that they were... They were recreating our original entrances. So when I'm sitting there in the, you know, hotel lobby of this Hyatt and he comes up behind me like 22 years ago, I didn't even remember that
scene. Was
it
the same Hyatt?
No. Oh God, no. Okay. I didn't even remember that scene, but like, it was so cute. The, you know, the little side-by-sides they're doing.
Yeah.
I was really excited to reconnect with both Kelly and Tokyo, because like,
yeah,
Kelly and I have lived an oddly parallel life in our time apart. So we both have 3 kids the same age. We both married, you know, a creative person. I call her a whole ass celebrity's wife. You know, I'm a partial celebrity's wife. Dave Holmes yes. called me a partial ass celebrity's wife in one of his write-ups on Decider, and I just rolled with it. She's just so lovely and also therapized down and speaks my language. So
yeah,
And nice to look at. I think she's so pretty. And
my
then
only note
Tokyo,
though is that okay, she's not present still. She said that going back into this experience, she wanted to be more present, and she's not going on the kind of like, she didn't go to the bar with you guys. I feel like when she's in the house, she's not really getting that much airtime. So I don't know. It feels like the same Kelly that we're.
Well, listen, she was present and she was participating, but it must be hard to get airtime.
When you got the craziest.
When all of these things are going. Well, you know what? Hold on a second. Let me tell you something.
Yeah.
What's crazy is everybody is so very focused, rightfully so, on the big A storyline and the big B storyline, that ain't nobody picking up the breadcrumbs for the C storyline.
What is that?
I just feel like, you know what? I'm gonna let people keep watching, but I'm like, do thine eyes deceive? Because I'm seeing things.
Did you?
And I'm like, hold on.
Okay.
Are they really gonna explore this? And
what is it?
You know, just a lot of the stuff that I've seen. There was a mention of the emoji. If you go back and watch the emoji trailer.
Emoji trailer.
There was a teaser where we each had to describe each other in emojis.
Each other in an emoji. Yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, some cast members described other cast members who are married with a particular emoji. And I was like, hold on a second now.
Uh-oh.
That seemed kind of inappropriate. But you know what? Not B talking about eggplant. Did somebody say eggplant?
It's eggplants. Lulu is so unhinged. I can't. What was the vibe when she entered the room? Was everybody, what do you think Kelly was like really nervous to see her? Kelly didn't really have beef
with
her.
Kelly wasn't nervous to see anybody. And here's the thing. I think everybody came into that house, you know, fully adulting and excited to be there. And, you know, and then it just became another thing when we had to address, you know, certain bad bloods from back in the day. But I think Tokyo had it right. I think in the first episode, Tokyo was like, you know, she was never going to see these people again. And that's the truth.
Yeah.
That's like, honestly, he has been quite the sage.
Yeah. I mean, this time around, he's like one of my favorite people on the show. He's completely changed. Do you think he would be the most changed on the show of all of the people?
Yes.
The cast members? Yeah.
And I'm going to say this. I hadn't kept in touch with him for 22 years. And like a couple months before the, you know, we were approached and everything. And he's still very much a private person. He reached out to me on DM on my private Twitter or my private Instagram, which, you know, I don't have that public out in the open.
He mentioned that on the show. He talked about it for a second.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So he DMs me and is like, hey, it's me. You might know me from. And I'm just like, hold on. And like, I didn't even skip a beat. I just knew it was him. Because why would this person be saying this to me? Mm-hmm. And I was like, what's going on? And it was before we were contacted about this shit. So it was a natural, generous, like reaching out, like, man, how have you been? What's going on? mm-hmm. that just, you know, came from his heart. And I was like, hi. And so I have a little, I feel like he's my little brother too. You know, mm-hmm. I feel very protective of him. And so, when we reconnected, I was just like, you know, today, as a matter of fact, because the third episode just came out, and I had to watch back that footage of me cussing him out in that house meeting. And like, my heart just hurt so bad.
Yeah.
Because I could see for the first, cause I didn't watch the show back before I came back in the house. I was raw dogging it. I just came in there and it was like, you know, when they had that incoming message and we sit on the couch, I was just hoping for the best, grip my teeth, hope for the best.
Did the rest of the cast rewatch the show before they came back in?
Kelly said she watched it. Jamie rewatched it. Uh-huh. Matt told me he rewatched it. Tokyo has never seen the show then or now.
Are you kidding me?
He doesn't. He said he'd be protecting his peace. He is not watching none of that mess.
he is such an enigma. Like,
he is. he really is.
I really like him this time around. He's cool. And he's like, just like chill and trying to do the right thing by everybody. And he's just like being the voice of reason. It's like a totally different, I was going to say David, but it's a different Tokyo.
Yeah. I almost feel like the name change is apropos. Cause I don't see David. Yeah. I see Tokyo. But yeah, he is lovely and he's funny and he's warm and he's cool. Listen, he's an eccentric, odd little bird.
Yes. But that's for sure.
I care so much about him. So when I had to watch that old footage of me cussing his ass out, like I really hurt my heart. I texted him first thing this morning and I was like, bro, I am watching this footage back and I am so sorry. Cause I'm trying to like, you know, I'm trying to reconcile it. And I'm like, dang, Melissa, you don't have to go so hard. God damn.
But then he's like, what the fuck are you talking about? Cause he ain't watching the show.
He was like, listen, we're good.
Yeah.
We're good. Mm-hmm. In words and action, we are good. So we had our little powwow this morning. I know we're not allowed to say powwow no more. We had our little get together this morning. And it's been, you know what, B, it's been fun. I gotta say, I've had a really fun. I was scared to death to go back on some damn reality TV, but it has been fun.
No, I mean, we're only episode 3 in, but it's like, for you, it's all good. You're just chilling. You're sitting and just watching stuff happen around you.
Listen, revisit me when the thing is over. We don't know yet what's going to happen.
Okay, true. Question, was Danny hungover the entire time? Because I feel like every episode he keeps waking up and he's like, I'm so hungover. I'm like, what was y'all doing? Because if everyone's going to sleep at 8, is he hungover every day?
No, I was cracking up because on the first episode, his shirt had like a stain on it. Like he spilled his drink on him. No, he wasn't hungover the whole time. That's hysterical. but you know, we were this time around, mm-hmm. the budget was there. I had me a $27 Kardashian salad every day.
the per diem was hitting.
So, you know, we had bottle service every day if we wanted it. So, you know, we were treated very well in terms of food and drink. So if people were drinking, I don't blame it.
Okay. Well, speaking of, so then we have like one of those moments about Danny's past with his ex. Is it Paul? Was Danny's ex called Paul?
And they have like what's so funny is people been reaching out to me being like, was his real name Paul? His real name was Paul.
Yeah. after the package where you guys watch it on the screen and stuff like that, then you're told that you're going to go out to the gay bar to go see some drag queens perform. Everyone except for Matt and Kelly, who's working on a book, but Matt don't go out with y'all like that. Do you feel like do you feel like least connected to Matt, by the way, in that house? It seems like he's barely talking to anybody.
Listen,
and interacting.
What's crazy is Matt and I connected. Yeah. On a couple of things. He practices attachment parenting, as do I. He is a homeschooler. I homeschooled my children in the first part of this pandemic. So like we connected on a lot of things, but that's not really on there.
They're not using a lot of him, but maybe that comes along later. I don't know. Maybe that, I mean, we're only three episodes in.
I think it will because, you know, there, a lot of this experience too for each person is wanting to address things that were maybe spoken and said in harm back in the day. And I was there, and I think that's going to come. So, you know, those incoming messages.
Yeah. Yeah. Everyone's going to have their moment. Yes.
So it's coming.
That's cool. So we go to the bar. And it's like immediately Lululemon or Lola Rowe, whatever the fuck we want to call her. She's dropping shots. She's dancing all around her little camisole. She's falling all over the floor. She refuses to drink water.
Can I just give a little PSA right quick?
Yeah. Yeah.
So if you are a straight woman and you are listening to this show, let me drop game on your ass right quick.
Don't go into a gay bar.
Girl, and be yourself like this. I'm just going to say this. You don't go into safe LGBTQIA plus space.
Showing her whole ass.
You do not consume their art. You do not take part in their community. And make yourself the center of that. Mm-hmm. When you go into LGBTQIA space, this is their time. They are gracious enough to have you up in here. So you better tip heavy and you better buy around.
You are a guest. And act also accordingly. Leave.
Correct. I don't go in a gay club unless I am going as a guest. And the you saw me. I had the dollars. Yep. I actually went to production. Production had brought us in there, and we didn't have any dollars. I went behind the wall because they were behind the wall. I was like, I know y'all don't have me up in the gay spot, and I'm Melissa from the real world, and y'all don't got no dollars.
Damn dollars.
Somebody give me money. Dollars. They gave me a stack, and I was over there. I was handing them out. And it was on Paramount's dime. All them drinks was coming, and I was handing those out.
Cheers that's what to you the do girls when you weekend. Go into space. Yeah. Cheers to the girls weekend. I mean, watching it felt like watching someone run with scissors, the way she was acting in that space. Okay. Obviously,
he
it looks
said
bad.
David Sedaris in here, yes. honey.
Yeah. I know how it looks watching the show, but in person, was everybody else in the room cognizant of the fact that she was just like,
listen, you have to think, let me put the let me get the framing right for you.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Danny
seemed also a little bit intoxicated too. Danny seemed lovely. He seemed fucked up, but he was having a
lovely.
Good time.
And what's funny is they edited out all the fun stuff because we got home and I put Danny's ass right in the shower. I was like, boy, if you don't get your ass in the shower, I put his ass in the shower. I put some essential oils on him. I put essential oil. I couldn't find his deodorant. I put my DKNY deodorant on it. And the next day he's like, your deodorant smells awesome. I was like, I know. Yeah.
Well, he don't wear no deodorant. He's been living in the woods.
I had him in the bed. It was genuinely a fun night until it wasn't.
yeah. So like everyone in the room was kind of noticing that as well, like all the other patrons.
Well,
and
you know, security wanted us out. And think about that. This establishment was set up for our filming. And even then we're like, you guys have to leave. I was like, damn, it was our spot and we still had to leave.
Yeah.
But also people need to understand. We traveled in a strict COVID bubble. So there was no one person can leave and the other one can take an Uber. There was nothing like that. We all leave together. We come as a group. We leave as a group.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Was it like, what was the time span of how quickly she, it was like an hour?
I feel like we were in there hella long. I feel like we were in there 2.5-3 hours, you know, because.
Oh, okay. I get it then.
The performers had to perform,
mm-hmm.
you know, and actually they didn't even show it, but every song that they played had a reference to wanting to be famous. And I was like, I'm peeping game here. Okay.
Oh, really? Okay.
Mm-hmm. But they didn't show it on the show. They didn't end up playing that. And I really did request back that ass up. And I did get my song. It was when we were loading the car up. So I danced in the street, but they cut that out. Ugh. I mean, how are you going to go to New Orleans and don't get back that ass up?
Exactly. And that was the year 99, 2000.
Yeah, it was anthemic.
Yeah.
I was upset.
So we get in the SUV. Julie Lululemon is falling in and out of the SUV. She falls flat on her face on the concrete. She runs into a tree. All this crazy mess. I lost it, though, by the way, when she gets into the house and she starts puking in the bed. Tokyo's taking care of her, holding her hair back. And they have they pan over to actually show the puke juice rolling down the hallway floor while Sade plays in the background. Bitch, I lost it. When they played Sade's By Your Side by Sade, I was like, what the?
I was like, why they did this song?
Why did they play that song? I lost it.
That was my trash can. Yikes. What a night.
Yeah, Tokyo's better than I could ever be because that couldn't be me. Nope.
Mm-mm. You saw all the cleaning products by the fireplace?
Yeah.
He was in there like Cinderella all night.
and then laid down next to it. I can't. Yeah. No. So obviously she wakes up the next morning and she kind of basically accuses him of manhandling her. I thought it was just like so weird, not leading with graciousness, not just... Obviously, it's reality television, so they maybe could have cut out stuff. I don't know, but you're like, no, that's what it was.
That's how that happened. That's how that happened. Because you see me on the bed, and I'm
You were just.
I said what? Like you saw, it was like
my neck came immediately. You like
my neck
you were
was
like
on swivel. I said, hold on, who?
But it's funny because Danny was in the room too. It didn't even like cross his mind. I don't think. As a white person, he was like, oh, well, that's weird. And you were like, oh, you're talking about the black man that helped you, carried you up these stairs, and now you're blaming him for all the bruises on your back when you ran into a tree and you fell down the stairs and all this crazy shit?
I did not like that. Ayan Van Zant, not on my watch. I didn't like that. That made me upset. I didn't like it.
So. She started stewing.
Have you been loving my vocabulary like the lamb that I am?
Yes.
Can really we go through some of my terms?
Yes.
I said obfuscate. I said stew. I said
the first episode you said you were not the aggrieved party.
Boom. I said smug. I said aloof. I said curt. No, I didn't say smug. I said curt. I said aloof. Listen, I love a vocabulary word. I do.
So you start talking to Tokyo, though, and telling him about what she's been saying behind his back and all this kind of crazy stuff. And did she ever like...
No!
Wait, isn't that what happened? Wait.
No. You mean when we were sitting outside on the porch?
Oh, she had already said something to him because you guys were at the beignet place. I forget. One of the two. Yeah.
Yeah. So we were at the beignet place. Another outing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
This one was outdoors. So COVID protocol wise, we
yeah,
we were sitting outside and she's talking to Danny and makes that comment and he hears it. And you can see he's like in the car ride home. You can see, you know, he has his glasses off and you can see he's like visibly upset that this good deed was turned into something gross.
Yeah.
And I just felt so bad, you know, because
did any of the
he really showed up here to be present and nice, you know?
Yeah, that's clear. And you noticed it right away, obviously. You peeped game. But, like, did anyone else on the cast even, like, pick up on this kind of, like, narrative that she was kind of repainting?
You know, I don't know. I don't know. I think that here's one of the things. And this is hard because I've established a boundary. And so, like, to the outside world, it'll seem like there's a lot of inter-house gossip. But there really wasn't because... There's also a piece of me that felt protective of everybody in that space, regardless of what my personal history was with them. So I don't speak things aloud until I know that it's going to be something that, you know, we're going to end up talking about
so like, as a group.
Yes. So I didn't want to say things that I was observing because I had established a boundary. But if other cast members did not establish that boundary, that's for them to find out. Man, you go ahead and have your own personal relationship with whomever you want in this house. And when you figure out what that dynamic is, you go and do that. I did not spend time campaigning or, you know, informing others. Everybody went in there with their own feelings about the experience itself, with their own feelings about each other. So, I just was, you know, in that moment when I'm sitting outside the house with Tokyo on that bench and we're having a conversation and he says he wants to have a house meeting. That conversation was actually really long because I was telling him I was out of here.
Yeah.
Oh, maybe my bags was packed.
I don't want to be on this kind of show.
Justin Beck had me a ticket booked, baby. All I had to do was call and say, book it. Like Pizza Hut, bitch. I was out of there. Because after that, I was like, I could see where this is going. There was no way for me to know how it was going to come out on TV. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, and I was like, I don't want another blanket incident. I'm not doing that. I didn't sign up for that. So he was actually being like, can you just let's relax? Well, because I was trying to leave.
Because you were going to tell me more in detail about what you guys talked about on that bench that doesn't air on the show. Mm-hmm. Let's head over to the B side because I want to talk about that. I also want to talk more about what you overheard Julie talking about in the hot tub, because she was on the phone with her husband, which is weird enough that she was talking about flirting with other men. But we're gonna get to that because that's the whole
voices,
weird...
Carrie.
There's a lot there, and I found that was the most interesting part of the whole episode was the fact that you guys overheard her just saying that stuff, because it really broke the fourth wall. And it's clear that she's trying to make reality television. And I'm wondering if you guys picked up on that before that conversation, or if that kind of just clicked something for you guys. Let's talk about that on the B side.
Yep.
First off, tell the people where your podcast is, what's going on.
Oh, yes, yes. If you're enjoying Melissa Beck from the Real World New Orleans return to the outside world, you can also find me at Imperfect Strangers Podcast. We have new episodes every Friday, anywhere you listen to podcasts. It is a podcast where I am getting to know a stranger. My co-host is Amanda. She's a lady that lives in Ohio. We're getting to know each other literally via a landline. It's a great little podcast that has grown and grown. Thank you so much for letting me on here always
She's
to talk
really
about
sweet.
It.
She's really
Amanda
sweet.
is a doll.
She DMs me. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. She's a doll.
I can't tell which one of y'all DMs me from that account, but I think it's usually her.
Yeah, I don't be on
that's her. Okay,
yeah,
okay.
That's work.
And then you got the show.
You can follow me on my Blue Check Twitters. You follow me quick before they take the Blue Check away. So on Twitter, I'm Melissa RWNO, and on Instagram, I'm Melissa Beck RWNO, and I'd be on there cutting up. So have fun with it.
Like me.
Yes.
And you guys can find The Real World Homecoming. Please, please watch it. It's so fucking good. We're on episode 3, so you have time to catch up. It is airing, like I said, on Paramount Plus, and it's Wednesday mornings that it comes out.
Every Wednesdays, yeah.
Every Wednesdays. Mm-hmm. Okay, let's go over to the B side.
All right, let's head on over to the B side.
Guys. Oh, let me tell them. Patreon.com/the B list. You can subscribe there. That's where you can get the bonus episodes. Thank you guys for listening, and we'll see you on the B-side. Bye.
All right.